service tonight. Let's take our hymn books together, please. 541. 541. Let's sing out tonight as we sing, "Set My Soul Afire, Stand With Me Tonight." 541.
Set my soul afire, Lord, for thy holy word. Burn it deep within me, let your voice be heard. Millions grope in darkness in this day.
Amen. We're glad you're here tonight. You're glad you're saved. Amen. We have so many in the hallway getting ready for our Parade of Nations. Let me encourage you to encourage those young people. They come on our buses here every week. We're so glad that they're taking part in our service tonight. So encourage them when you see them after the service tonight and let them know they were a blessing to you. All right, Pastor McDonald's going to come and open our service.
Amen. Amen. Good to see everybody here tonight. And I just want to just remind you that we have the rest of this remaining of this week to really get excited about missions. We've got some more presentations tonight. We had Brother Reaver give us a presentation of what they would like to do and have the Lord work through them in Africa. And I want you to be in prayer for them, for Brother Reaver there. He's just dealing with a bout of the flu. And it came on to him at the end of the service last night, and he's been sick and hasn't gotten a lot of sleep. And it's not easy being on the road when you're not feeling well. So let's be in prayer for him. Last night also, Pastor Thiessen preached a great message on communicating the gospel. And he laid out the people group, the three people groups, as listed out by the Word of God. It's nice to have things done according to God's plan, and he had it last night. So we expect some great things this week in preaching. And again, as the pastor has mentioned, the Parade of Nations tonight. So some good things to be thinking about. Brother Ray, if you'd pray for tonight's offering, please.
Thank you, Lord, for this day and opportunity to be in your house. Thank you for the opportunity to have missions. And be once again reminded of our job there to be a part of the world in evangelism. Thank you for just bless the service this evening with the message and missions, as always, with the preaching, Lord, so that you just show us our hearts once again. Yes, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Well, we're glad to have the Lowe family with us this week, so we're going to have Mrs. Lau come at this time with a special in song.
Here I am, Lord, is it I, Lord?
Thank you. Well, our master clubs are ready. Each and every week on Thursday nights, we meet here for master clubs and have our buses full of kids and our classes all come together. We have a lot of fun, and we also get to teach the Word of God to these young people. It's exciting when one accepts Christ as Savior, and many have made professions of faith throughout the year. They are excited about tonight. Let me tell you, I have the grade 4, 5, and 6 boys. That's my class. And thankful to the St. Lucia trip, I had Mr. Pipe and I with 27 little boys the last 2 weeks. And so that's why I'm going bald, is because of that. But let me tell you, we've been having fun picking out our costumes. And let me tell you, they are so excited about coming in tonight and being part of our service. They were thrilled to be able to do this. And so please encourage them if you see them in the hallways after. So we're going to have our Parade of Nations. Thank you.
start again.
All right, young people, we're glad that you're at Bethel Baptist Church tonight, but I want you to know that we're in the house of God. So how are we going to sit in the house of God? All right, let's sit up with our feet on the floor, our hands on our laps, keep them to yourselves, and let's respect the house of the Lord tonight, all right? You're just going to be in here for a few minutes. We're going to have a missionary from Indonesia come and show us some pictures and talk to us about Indonesia before you go back to your class for your Bible time. Each of your classes tonight, you're going to have a missionary in your class teaching you from the Word of God. All right, so before our missionary comes, let's sing a song together. Number 579, The Banner of the Cross. We'll let you remain seated. We don't want to cause a lot of commotion right now. 579, The Banner of the Cross. Let's sing it together.
There's a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the King. As an ensign there we lift it up today, while as ransomed ones we sing. Marching on, marching on, for Christ now everything belongs. And around Him ring, toil and sing,
is the Owens family going to Indonesia. Mom and Dad's names are Samuel and Johanna. So Brother Sam, if you'll make your way to the platform. Is your wife here, Johanna? Would you stand and wave to everybody? The little Muslim girl over here is his wife. And she's born and raised in Indonesia, so she already knows the language. As a matter of fact, Mrs. Owens knows six languages and speaks six languages, so it's very gifted. And are your children in here by chance? I guess the two older, Daniel is here. Daniel, can you wave? Stand up and wave. All right. And where's Priscilla? Priscilla. Oh, right there. And there's Priscilla on the end. All right. And then Chloe is in the nursery tonight. Is she not? Oh, is she here? Oh, there she is. All right. So meet their family and get to know them. And our Brother Owens is going to share his testimony, and then we're going to show your video tonight.
All right. Amen. Thanks, Pastor. Thank you, church. We have been excited to be here. We look forward ever since we booked the meeting to be with you guys, we've looked forward to being up here, and it's a good stretch of the legs for us. We're from Tennessee, and as you said earlier, my wife is from Indonesia, and so in Indonesia, the temperature stays around 36, so this is quite the opposite of what she's used to. Anyway, you'll see in my slide that I was saved at the age of 5. And then that I was called to missions at the age of 15. But I was called to missions in a missions conference. The Lord spoke to my heart. So if you're here, let the Lord work through the preaching and allow the Lord to work in your heart. And if God's working in that way, don't deny Him and don't put it off. Let Him work and yield to His Holy Spirit leading. In our video, you'll see some pictures of Indonesia, and one of the pictures that we have is a picture of myself sitting with a young man. He's wearing a brown T-shirt, and I'm wearing a blue polo or golf shirt. And his name is Dagu. We had the privilege of speaking with him and sharing with him. My wife translated for me. And he trusted Christ as his personal Savior before we left, so I wanted to point that out. Also, Indonesia, most of you might have a hard time knowing where that is. Many people do. It's north of Australia and south of the Philippines and borders New Guinea on the eastern side of the country. So it's an island country. There's about 6,000 islands that are inhabited, and God's called us to the island of Simelu. There's about 30,000 people there, and there are no churches of any kind. No Catholic, no Lutheran, no Reform, no Baptist, no whatever. There's no church. There's about 99% Muslim in that island. So we're praying that God would allow us to go back to that island quickly, because there are some Christians that are there. Christians, by that they mean Protestant. They're not Baptist. They don't know Christ as personal Savior. They're depending on good works to get them to heaven. And so we're praying that God will allow us to get back to witness to those Christians that are there because they're hungry and thirsty for the gospel. And if you'll go ahead and show the slide. Thank you, Pastor.
Allow me to introduce myself. I am Samuel Owens. I was born while my dad was in college at Trinity Baptist College, studying to be a pastor. Though I was only 2 years old when my dad started Calvary Baptist Church in Franklin, Tennessee, I still remember seeing the Lord work over the 7 years we were there. Included in those memories was when God spoke to my heart through the preaching of God's Word. I remember very clearly it was an Easter Sunday. I was only 5 years old at the time. I went to my dad after the service and asked him to show me how to be saved. He proceeded to show me that I was a sinner and that I deserved an eternal spiritual death, that because God loved me, he sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross in my place, that I must confess my sins and repent of them, that I must ask Jesus to come into my heart and save me. What a blessed moment that was when Jesus forgave me and became my personal Savior. In 1992, my dad handed over the work in Franklin, Tennessee, to Pastor Mitch Martin and moved to Cowan, Tennessee to start Hope Baptist Church. At this point, I was 9 years old. I was able to assist much more over the past 21 years. In Cowan, I have assisted in soul winning, visitation, the bus ministry as bus captain, youth pastor, and preaching several times a month, and also in a nursing home ministry. In 2002, I began college at Pensacola Christian College. I made it a point to meet as many people from as many countries as I could. God had already called me to missions when I was 15, but I did not know where. After meeting folks from all over the world, God began to work on my heart concerning the people of Indonesia. As I learned more about the country, especially the people, I felt God tugging at my heart. In 2004, God opened the doors and provided the means for me to go to Indonesia for the first time. I traveled with the veteran missionary Doug Miller to survey several people groups on the island of Java. Though Indonesia is the largest Muslim nation, I learned that there are Buddhists, Hindus, and animists that are spread throughout the country. When I returned from the trip, I began to pray about God using me for his service in Indonesia. God laid on my heart a burden for the Simelu people of Indonesia on September 25, 2004. God secured the call upon my life to reach the peoples of Indonesia while reading Proverbs 25:25. As cool water to a thirsty soul, so is the good news from a far country. I have been to Indonesia a number of times since. On one trip, God introduced me to a beautiful Indonesian native. Little did I know at that time, but God had planned our meeting because a year and a half later, we were wed.
I was raised up in a Christian family. All through my childhood, I went to a Protestant church. When I was in college, I started going to charismatic church. I continued going to charismatic church even after I moved to capital city, Jakarta. It was not until I met Samuel and he introduced me to Independent Baptist Church of Jakarta. Shalom, that I first heard the truth of salvation. It took me several weeks before I was ready to ask someone about how to be saved. I was saved when some of the church members came to visit me in my dorm. They sat down and walked through the plan of salvation with me. At the end, I asked Jesus into my heart to save me. As I learned more, I realized that I was hearing the truth. The more I saw Samuel's heart for my people, the more I love him. I promised God and Samuel I would support him wherever God leads me.
I have been praying for the island of Simalu since 2004. In March of 2013, 9 years later, God allowed me to visit Simalu for the first time. God blessed us with many helps while we were there. More importantly, God confirmed his calling on my heart and my life for the Simalu people. The region of Simalu is a very poor region. There are many Christians that live on the island, yet are not able to attend a church service. Their comments to us while we were there was that they were hungering and thirsting to hear the preaching of God's word. We also saw where there were whole villages that longed to hear the gospel. The sad thing is, in some of those villages, there's no one that is able to read. Our goal is to train nationals to plant churches by working with local independent Baptist churches and colleges, teaching the natives in Simalu to read and youth ministries. The islands we will be working with are Java and Simalu. Java is home of the capital city of Jakarta and several other large cities such as Surabaya, Bandung, Yogyakarta. For many, Islam is not just a religion but a way of life. Many are of the persuasion that to be an Indonesian is to be Muslim. Most Indonesians would say, to become Christian is to become Western. In other words, they are afraid they would lose their culture if they become Christian. I will be working with Pastor Yakub, or Pastor Jacob. Pastor Jacob is an established native pastor of the Independent Baptist Church of Indonesia at Malioboro, Yogyakarta, Indonesia. Yogyakarta is a large university city on Java Island. Pastor Yakub also oversees a Bible college as a ministry of the church. My goals as we work with Pastor Yakub include teaching in the Bible college, preaching, encouraging the pastor, counseling, small group Bible studies, university ministries, soul winning. We will also work in Simalu. In Simalu, we will start a simple school to teach the villagers to read. We will also work with the schools and Bible institutes to bring preacher boys to the area to show the needs of the people there in Simalu, have a youth ministry, start Bible clubs, and start house churches. In the first 4 years of our marriage, God has blessed us with three beautiful children, Daniel, Priscilla, and Chloe. Thank you for taking the time to look at our presentation. Please pray for us as we make our way to Indonesia and to the people of Simalu. God bless.
All right. Well, thank you, children. You sat very well. You're going to be dismissed at this time. We're going to sing another hymn, number 490. 490, Take My Life and Let It Be. Let's stand together. Children, let's be dismissed very quietly, all right? 490, you are dismissed. Take my life and let it be.
Take my life and let it be. Take my feet and let them be swift.
family with us as well. I'm going to have them stand. I'll introduce them. I guess they're all gone. I'm sorry. I was going to introduce them one more time for you in case you weren't here last night. You're going to have to go out to their tables and make sure you get to know each one of our missionaries. Tomorrow night they'll be back in our services. They're teaching all of our children tonight about missions. In each class, we have a different missionary, and so we're excited about that. Pray for them as they're back there ministering even now. Well, it's good to have Brother Thiessen with us. He's going to come and preach to us from the Word of God again tonight. Great message last night. I've never seen how God put in Acts 8, 9, and 10 all the people of the world that need to be reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was an eye-opening message. I appreciated it so much. And so he's going to preach. His wife can't be with us. She has to have surgery in the morning. And so he took her home today. She's having some dental surgery tomorrow morning. And so be in prayer for her as she is undertaking that. Brother Thiessen.
Thank you, preacher. Thank you, Pastor. Church family, what a delight to be back at Bethel Baptist Church one more time. I've said to a few folks, as soon as you walk in that front door, it feels like we've never left Bethel. You can take a person out of Bethel, but you can't take Bethel out of them for some reason. So we're delighted to be here and, of course, have the opportunity to fellowship with many of you. I want to pass along my wife and I's personal appreciation to your pastor and to you as a church for the lovely gift bags, all the goodies in them. I don't think I'll be able to finish those all off this week, but I am enjoying some of the fresh fruit and especially those Picard's chocolate-covered cherries. Those are just the best. So I'm enjoying all that. I appreciate that, the fine motel room there at the Comfort Inn. And praise the Lord for all of that. Praise the Lord for a missions conference, a missions emphasis. This is what God intended the church to be involved in. To be missions-minded and to be missions-involved. You maybe heard it said that as the church, and only as the church, fulfills its missionary obligation, does it justify its existence. You know, we're here to evangelize the world, not to fossilize. We're here, as I said last night, to be the salt of the earth. And if the salt stays in the shaker, it's not doing anybody any good. The salt has got to be shaken out of that shaker. And so, seeing your pastor's chosen theme this week, taking Jesus to the world, I believe that's his heart. It's not just about the missionaries that are visiting with us this week, although that's important. We want to lavish those families with our love and appreciation, get to know them, pray intelligently for them, and Lord willing, support them and send them to the field that God has called them to. But this missions conference is about every one of you sitting in the pew tonight. It's all of us being involved in God's program of world evangelization. So shall we take our Bibles tonight? And we're going to turn to Philippians chapter 4. My message tonight is entitled "The Accountability of One Church." We're going to take a look at the church at Philippi, one of many churches to which Paul wrote epistles or wrote letters. And there's something unique about this church at Philippi that Paul brings to our attention in our text tonight. So Philippians chapter 4 and verses 10 through 19. And we'll go ahead. You can follow along silently. I'll read the passage out loud, and then we'll have a word of prayer, and we'll get right into the message this evening. So Philippians chapter 4, verse number 10, Paul writes, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me has flourished again." Now Paul's the missionary, and here's the church caring for its missionary. Amen. That's what we ought to do. So he's rejoicing in that. He says, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Take special note of those last three words in verse 15, because we're going to come back to that and really park there for a while tonight. But ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Let's thank the Lord for his word tonight, and let's unite our hearts together in a word of prayer, shall we? Gracious Father in heaven, we are indeed thankful tonight for all the blessings that we've received. Lord, to live in a land such as Canada, to enjoy the freedom and the bounty that we have. Lord, then to think of how you've blessed us materially, to think of how you've blessed our families and our homes, and how you've blessed us spiritually. Lord, that we could have heard the gospel. Some of us, from a very young age, were exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ and even trusted you as our Savior in our formative years of life. And then to have a wonderful church home like Bethel Baptist Church. Lord, we are blessed indeed. But Lord, this conference, the focus is not on all that we have and all that we've been blessed with. The focus is on others who have yet to be blessed in a similar way, especially on the spiritual side of things. Lord, wherever they are scattered around this world tonight, whether they're rich or poor, if they do not know you, we understand, Lord, that they'll spend eternity separated from God, separated from you in a place that the Bible calls hell. And Lord, we've been commanded to go into all the world and preach this glorious gospel. Help us to that end. Help us to understand our own responsibility, our own accountability tonight. And I pray that you'd use me and empower me. And Lord, give me the very words to speak, Lord, that might be a blessing and encouragement, and you'd use as a catalyst to spur some on, Lord, in their zeal for winning this world, winning the lost. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're talking tonight about the accountability of this one church. And we're going to look at that as it relates to us. So if the church at Philippi had an accountability and they had a responsibility, and Paul expressed his appreciation to them for what they had done in terms of their involvement in his life as their missionary, then we also need to understand that we have an accountability. We have a responsibility. And let me put it to you in this manner. Let's ask ourselves the question tonight, What if we were the only ones? Now, I know we're not. But what if Bethel Baptist Church was the only Bible-believing, gospel-preaching church left in Canada, in the world? We were the only ones. Do you imagine, do you think for a moment that we'd have a huge responsibility on our hands? That we'd have incredible accountability, not only to Christ, but to this world? Well, sure we would. Because the fact of the matter is, if we were the only church tonight, and we somehow fumbled that ball, we fumbled the responsibility, Bible-believing Christianity would die out with our generation, with our passing. You say, well, that's not the case, Pastor Thiessen. We're just one of many. We're just one of hundreds. We're just one of thousands. But you notice Paul's testimony of the church at Philippi in verse number 15? He said, no one else communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Now, a lot of this emphasis in Philippians chapter 4, of course, and it can be preached, is on the giving. But as we'll look at the passage a little closer, we can see that there's a number of areas where we're responsible and where we need to be accountable and where we need to ask ourselves, what if we were the only ones? I mean, maybe even individually we ought to ask ourselves, what if I was the last Christian? Would the world have any hope? If I was the last believer on planet Earth, would this world have any hope? Would I open my mouth? Would I do anything to invest myself in getting that message to others? You know, one individual can make a great difference. One church can make a greater difference. And at times, even if it's only one that stands in the gap, like the Philippian church did for Paul, that makes all the difference. I read some time ago the amazing story of Sir Ernest Shackleton, who was an Arctic or polar explorer. He was British, and back in the early part of the 20th century, from 1914 through 1916, he mounted an expedition. He wanted to be the first one to the South Pole. And he took between 20 and 30 men with him, and they set out for Antarctica. And the ship was named the Endurance. Well, they got down to the polar ice, and they were gonna moor their ship and get in onto the continent there, but a bad thing happened. The polar ice trapped their ship and eventually crushed their ship, and it went down amid the polar ice. And so Ernest Shackleton and his crew, they salvaged any of the goods off of that ship that they could. And for the better part of a year and a half, they were trapped at the southernmost point of this globe. And many of those men were ready to give up and die. They never thought they'd see civilization again. But in one of the most incredible stories of human survival, all of those men survived. And one of the reasons was, as you read the story, is Sir Ernest Shackleton. He exemplified leadership and determination to the point he wouldn't let his men die. He would scream in their face when they were discouraged and despondent and ready to quit. And he'd say, no one is going to die. We are going to survive. And they did. It's an incredible story. But you know what, folks? We need to have a similar determination when it comes to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when it comes to our missionary obligation to say, if it's up to me, if it's up to our church, if we have anything to do with it, if we have any stakes in this game, then the gospel will not die out with our generation. We'll get it to our community. We'll get it out to our world. We'll support missionaries. We'll give and we'll pray and we'll go. And we need to make sure that we're in that camp of making a difference. We're in that camp with the Philippian believers, where Paul or any missionary would have that, could have that testimony. Say, you know, it seemed like no one else cared. It seemed like no one else gave. It seemed like no one else was willing to make a difference. But Bethel Baptist Church stood with us. And they prayed with us and they went. Bethel Baptist Church made the difference for the missionary. Paul sadly had experiences where seemingly faithful co-workers at times left him. He talked about a man named Demas who one time forsook him, having loved this present world. And he had to say, only Luke is with me. He wrote earlier in the book of Philippians about young Timothy and said, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. Barnabas might be another example of someone that stood with him. And so we just need to ask ourselves tonight, what kind of world would this be? What kind of church would our church be if everyone was just like us? And if that's not the kind of church that we believe there needs to be, and if that's not the kind of world that it ought to be, then we need to change some things, don't we? If everyone was just like us when it came to our giving, I know that's a sensitive subject, but you know, it's a missions conference. And as one old-time preacher said, when asked, you know, isn't the water of life free? He said, bless God, it's free, but the plumbing costs money. All right, so we need to give. We need to open up our checkbooks. We need to open up our wallets, our pocketbooks, our purses, and we need to give so that others can go and take that water of life to a thirsty world. But if everyone gave to missions like we gave, how many missionaries would we support? If everyone shared their faith with neighbors and coworkers and classmates like we did, how many people would hear the gospel? If everyone prayed for the missionaries on the same level that we did, how much praying would get done? We have a tremendous accountability, don't we? Bud Calvert, many years ago, a great missions-minded pastor, I heard him preach, and he made this statement: every local church is a home base for world evangelization. Every local church. That's what we need to be about. Now, what is our responsibility? What is our accountability? We may not be the only ones. Praise God, we're not the only ones tonight. But I believe our accountability is just the same as if we were. And thus the title of my message tonight. If we were the only church, I want us to understand tonight that there's some things we'd still need to do. If we were the only church, we would still need to do our best. We would still need to do our best. Look at verse 14. He says, notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. That phrase, well done, means to perform, to accomplish, to fulfill in an honest and morally upright manner. Now, this church lacked certain opportunities. They lacked some resources. We read that in verse number 10. He says, your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. They were unable, quite honestly, to accomplish everything that needed to be done. But Paul now, in verse 14, is telling them, you've done well. You've done good. You've really done your best. And folks, we sometimes may look at our lives and say, what really can I accomplish? Can I really make a difference? Just one individual. Come with me to the city of Toronto. Come with me to Mississauga and just watch as the multitudes and the millions go by seemingly every day. And I often scratch my head and I think to myself, what difference am I really making? Yes, I preach every Sunday. I preach midweek. I go out and I visit folks and I knock on doors and I distribute tracts and I try and lead my church to do the same. But we're just a pocketful amidst millions. What difference can we make? Maybe you heard the story about the little boy walking down the beach on the California coastline. And there was an older gentleman walking behind this lad. And he observed that the boy would walk a distance and then every once in a while he'd stoop down and he'd pick something out of the sand. And he'd make a throwing motion out into the surf. And then he'd walk a little further and he'd stoop down and pick something else up and he'd throw it out into the surf again. And the man behind him was full of curiosity at what the boy was doing. And so finally he caught up with the lad. And he said, what on earth are you doing? Well, the boy said, you see down here, there's starfish that get washed up on the beach. And if they're left, as the tide goes out, those starfish become stranded and they'll dry up and they'll die. And the older man laughed at the boy. And he said, that's ridiculous. He said, do you know how many millions of starfish there are up and down the beaches of California? And the boy said, well, I know there's many of them. The man said, what difference are you hoping to make? You'll never make any difference. And the boy said, as he picked up another starfish and threw it out, he said, well, sir, it made a difference for that one, didn't it? And you know, that's how we need to look at it. We can't make a difference overnight, one person, one church, and an entire world, but we can make a difference for one, just one. And we are accountable to do our best. And this church at Philippi was concerned about the Apostle Paul. Maybe they couldn't support and do everything and didn't have all the resources to take care of all of Paul's needs, but they could do something. And they could do it well, and they could give their best. The Bible does say, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. James 4 and verse 17. And so we have that accountability to do our best in the area of world evangelization. If we just sit by idly and do nothing, is it not sin to us? As we see this world on its way to a Christless eternity? We don't have all the talent in the world. You know, there's few of those people that come along. It seems they can do just about everything well. Some of you folks, you remember Bob Melford. Bob Melford was my assistant soccer coach at Maranatha Baptist Bible College when I was a freshman. And you know, I used to watch Bob Melford play soccer, play basketball, get up and sing, play the piano, preach. Just about anything Bob Milford put his hand to, it seemed like it turned to gold. Man, the guy is multi-talented. And praise God for that. But you know what? God delights in using one talent people too. I've often said, bless God, as a preacher, I'm not dynamic, but I am determined. And God can use determined people. And when all the dynamism, all the dynamic element of any person's ministry might fade away, it's the determined few that are still going. And God can use you. So there's that accountability to just give our best. If we were the only church, we'd still need to not only do our best, but we need to give. And in verse 15, I just want to touch on this now. Maybe we'll say more later in the week about giving, the financial end of it. But the word used here is communicate. No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Now that word communicate is an interesting word in the original language, the Greek, of course. It is the same word that is elsewhere translated fellowship. And it talks about a sharing with others, about becoming a partaker. And he's saying here you are entering into a fellowship, a participation with me as concerning giving and receiving. Now that's a beautiful truth. When we give our missions dollars, when we give our faith promise commitment, we are forging a partnership with the Samuel Owens family going to Indonesia. We're forging a partnership with Chris and Rebecca Lau going to Thompson, Manitoba, and with Benjamin and Jackie Reimer going to Liberia. And although we may never set foot in those faraway places ourselves, we have traveled there through our dollars. And we've made an investment. And we have communicated. We've entered into that concerning giving and receiving. And it's not a hardship for us, is it really, to give? It's a beautiful thing. It's a joyful participation in God's work. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7 that God loves a cheerful giver. Old Dr. Cederholm, who founded Maranatha Baptist Bible College, he used to get up and preach on missions, and he'd say as he shook his head, bless God. There's no one that can't give anything. He says he got tired of hearing those prayers. Lord, bless those who give and those who cannot. He said everybody can give something. Bless God, you can give a button off your shirt if you don't have any cash in your pocket. Everybody can give something. And the Philippian believers gave. They communicated in this matter of giving. Do you know that giving, and especially giving towards world evangelization, is one of the most godlike things we can do? God is fundamentally a giver. Am I right or am I wrong about that? Read John 3:16 again. For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten son. He gives and he gives. And he gives again. We are fundamentally a generation of takers. We're saying, give me. Let me be on the receiving end. We're holding our hands open for what we receive. And God says, look, as Bible-believing Christians, as individuals who have been redeemed by the blood of Calvary, I want you to be different. I want you to be more like me and not just always be on the receiving end, but you give. Thank God for this testimony of this church. Paul said, you were the only ones that did this. And if we were the only church tonight, Bethel Baptist Church, we would need to be given our best, and we would need to give of our resources to get the gospel around the world. But there's another thing. We also have the accountability to be faithful in verse 16. He says, even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. How often? Not just once. Once and again. And there was a readiness on their part to do more. That's faithfulness. Faithfulness is not just about getting caught up in the emotion and the excitement of missions conference time, meeting the missionaries. Oh, it's exciting. We get to go by their display table. We see this colorful parade of nations, and it thrills our heart. And we say, you know what? I'm going to give something. I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to do something more for missions in this next year. And then mission conference becomes a distant memory. And we let off. And we're not faithful to those commitments that we made. We have an accountability to be faithful. Faithfulness never says, I've done enough. I'm through. I'm tired. Faithfulness doesn't complain about its responsibility. Faithfulness knows no past tense. Faithfulness says, I'm living today. And whether I live or whether I die, I am the Lord's and I will be faithful to Him. The Bible says it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So let's be, if we're challenged to give and to go and to pray, let's be faithful in our giving. Let's be faithful in our going. Let's be faithful in our praying. That's our accountability. You say, well, we're not the only church. No, you're not. You're not the only Christian. I'm not the only believer. I'm not the only pastor. My church is not the only church. But our accountability is just as much as if we were. It really is. And we have that accountability to be faithful. But we also have an accountability then to be fruitful. Verse 17. Paul says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. This is an important point because Paul is not communicating with the church at Philippi to praise them and to commend them for their giving and then to encourage them to do more for his sake, because in the context, haven't we read that Paul said, you know what? I've learned that in whatsoever state I am, I can be content. I've learned to do without. I've learned to abound, but I've learned to be content. And he says here again, it's not because I desire a gift. But he says, I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now that's the beautiful thing. Our accountability is to be fruitful and will not be fruitful until we're making the investment. You're not going to reap a harvest if you never plant the seed, amen? Isn't that the way it works? You invest financially because you're hoping for a yield. You're hoping for some capital gains. You're hoping for some interest and some dividends on money that you've invested. And you want it to be a good investment, but you never get that return unless you invest the money first. Isn't that right? We cannot hope for spiritual fruit unless we make the spiritual investment. And I'll be quite honest, folks, with you tonight. I don't think there's any one of us in here that makes the investment in prayer that we even believe we really ought to be making. There's probably not a one of us in here that really and honestly makes the investment in going like we believe we ought to be going. There's many things that distract us, take our attention away. Well, all around us, the world is dying and going to hell. I'm just saying, folks. You know, it's fine to have hobbies. Fine to enjoy some nice things in life. There's no sin in that. But there is sin in that if it takes us away, if it divorces our thinking from the main thing, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sports are great. But you know, you can follow the Toronto Maple Leafs till you die, and they're not going to win a cup for you. I was telling, you know Justin Heath. He's from Simcoe here, and Justin serves as our youth pastor, so I'm always teasing him about the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I texted him today. I said, did you know the Toronto Maple Leafs are so bad they're looking at moving their franchise? He says, what? I said, yeah, that's right. They're looking at moving to the Philippines. And that there they'll be known as the Manila Folders. Some of you will get that. If you didn't get it, I'll explain it to you later. We get caught up in some of these things. And in eternity, they don't mean a hill of beans. Are we praying as we ought to? Are we giving? Are we going? Are we shedding some tears over lost people? I think, quite honestly, there's a lot of folks in our churches. We shed tears over all kinds of different losses, but we haven't yet shed a tear for a lost soul that needs to know Christ. We're accountable to be fruitful, but we'll not be fruitful. The point I'm making is we will not be fruitful if we do not make the investment. If we're the only church, we'd also have an accountability to just please God. Verse 18, Paul said, but I have all and abound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. That's what it all comes down to, isn't it? Why do we do our best? Why should we give? Why should we be faithful? Why should we be fruitful and desire to be fruitful? Because it's well-pleasing to God. That's our accountability. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:9, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. It's like the little rhyme says, there's only two choices on the shelf, pleasing God or pleasing self. Who are we pleasing tonight? Our accountability is to please God. We have a missions conference. Faith Promise Missions is taught. It's promoted. Missionaries are put in front of us. And you know, we can think all manner of things about the way the missionaries are presented to us, about the way the giving program of the church is presented to us. And we can have all kinds of varieties of opinions about it. But at the end of the day, I want you to know something. What it all comes down to is not what will make Pastor Fury happy. Not about what Sister Sue or Brother John or whoever it is, what they might think. At the end of the day, you know what really matters? Is what pleases God. So, you know, when you get down to it and you pray about how God wants you to respond, and your prayer and the desire of your heart is, oh God, I want to come out of this pleasing you. I want to know, God, what you want me to do. And how that my life and my giving and my praying can please you. Now we're getting somewhere. Now we're where God wants us to be. I believe that's the heart of your pastor in this. And you know, when we seek to please God, it's amazing how that diffuses potential problems and even conflicts many times. I remember a gentleman in the early years of our church. He had a pretty strong disagreement with me over an error. It wasn't even doctrinal. It was just something practical in the church. And I said to the gentleman, well, I said, you know, that's wonderful. You see it that way. I see it this way. And, you know, God's called me to be the pastor. And so I'm accountable. I'm responsible to God to give leadership to the church in that area. And it's not saying that you're all wet or you're all wrong, but it's just that God's given me that area of leadership and responsibility, and I have to pillow my head at night knowing that I'm doing my best to please God. And then I looked at the man, looked at the gentleman, I looked him right in the eye, and I said, you know what, sir? If your desire in all of this is to please God, and my desire in all of this is to please God, then you know what? Really, we have no disagreement. And that diffused the whole thing right there. And years later, you know what? That gentleman is in a good independent Baptist church serving the Lord, and I'm thankful for that. He's not in our church any longer. He's not living in the area any longer. But praise God, I think he saw that, he needs to please God. Finally tonight, what's our accountability if we're even the only church? Our accountability is to do our best, to give, to be faithful, to be fruitful, to please God, and finally, it's just to trust God. Verse 19, you know the verse well, and it's a conditional promise, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What's it conditional upon? It's conditional on the fact that we're doing our best and we're giving. And we're being faithful, and we're being fruitful, and we're seeking to please God in everything. And God says, look, you can trust me with everything in your life. We don't need to trust in our own resources or abilities, but in God alone. I wonder if our actions in the area of world evangelization demonstrate this sort of trust. I mean, even in our faith promise giving, are we trusting God's supply of our needs? When my children were small, I'm just going to close with this illustration. When my children were small, we'd go out to McDonald's. That was their favorite restaurant. Those days are long gone. It's not McDonald's anymore. It's Boston Pizza. It's Montana's, whatever, where you get a real meal. But I remember sitting there on a couple of occasions, and I'd test my children. We'd be sitting there, and my son, for instance, would have a tray full of French fries. And I'd look over at him, and I'd say, son, could I have a French fry? And sometimes the little children, how they are, they're guarding those French fries. Those are their French fries. Not sharing them with Dad. And they just put their arms around those French fries. And I'd chuckle to myself and I'd say, do you not think that if I take one of those French fries that I could replace it 100 times over? And it struck me that that's the way we are with God. We're like a little child with his French fries. Oh no, those are my fries. Who gave them to you in the first place? Do we not think that God can't replace what he's asking us to give? There's so much more where that came from. We can trust him. The accountability of one church. Where would Paul be? I'm sure God would raise another church up to supply for him, but that's not the fact of the matter. The fact of the matter is, it was this church at Philippi that stood in the gap for Paul, stood in the gap for the missionary, stood in the gap for worldwide evangelization. And we can be those same kind of difference makers. We all can, by God's grace and for his glory. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for this wonderful testimony of one church and the difference they made. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to likewise be interested in making that difference. Lord, help us to be accountable to you. Oh, Lord, help us to do our best in this area, to believe and understand and know that it's important. Help us to give. Lord, help us to be faithful and fruitful, and help us to please you, and help us to trust you, Lord. As we conclude the service tonight, Lord, whatever it is that you want to do in our hearts, I pray that we would yield ourselves to that. We'd allow your Holy Spirit to have his way and will. We thank you for this in Christ's name. Amen. We'll stand together as the instrument begins to play and your pastor comes. You respond however that God is leading you. Don't be ashamed to come to an old-fashioned altar and kneel and pray. And just be humble and open and honest with God, and he'll bless you. He wants to use you. He wants to use every one of us. Pastor.
The altar is open even now. If God has spoke to your heart, would you step out and come? So many different areas we need to invest in and protect, be jealous over. Are we praying like we should? Are we investing like we should for the cause of Christ? Are we telling others like we should? Are we trusting God to take care of all of it? Let's make these commitments to the Lord tonight and throughout this week. Would you pray that God would continue to burden your heart throughout the rest of this week, that come Sunday, we'll be refreshed, revived, and ready to do more for Christ than we've ever done before. Would you pray? May be seated. Thank you so much for being here tonight. God bless you. Tomorrow night is our last night that we'll have missionary presentations. So at 7 o'clock we have our service here, and we're looking forward to hearing from the Lau family going to Thompson, Manitoba. And so I want you to stop by all the tables tonight, get to know everybody. Also, Miss Britton has a table out there. She didn't set it up. I don't believe she even knew we were going to set one up. But there are some things there that from India, but also a nice scrapbook that Mrs. Judge put together. If you say, I don't normally read, I always wait for the movie, you don't have to wait very long, because Sunday night we will have the film of her life, and you'll enjoy that at our service. And so you want to come Sunday for sure and make sure you're a part of that. Would you continue to pray for our meetings, that God will continue to work in our hearts and use us in a greater way to reach the world for Jesus Christ? Why don't we be dismissed with a word of prayer tonight? Please stop by the tables, fellowship with the missionaries, and get to know them. I think they're probably out. The kids have already got on the buses, and they're headed out. And so the missionaries should be waiting out in the hallway when you arrive. All right? Good to have Brother Judge home just for a short time for some meetings, but would you stand and lead us in a word of prayer tonight and be dismissed?
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house this evening as we put the emphasis on mission. Thank you for the message that you had for us this evening. I pray that each one of us take this message and use it and apply it to our lives and give more to mission. Pray for each one of the missionaries that are here, bless them, here with us this week, and get their support. Pray for each one of them to go to the field and use that to study the Lord. Just go with us now as we go our separate ways. That's our time for our next Lord.
Amen. God bless you, our dismissed. Thank you for coming.